you've done the work and now you're in a really good relationship. What are the issues that are going to come up for you in a really good relationship? How can you work through problems and how can you get to the place of deeper intimacy? Stay tuned to this episode of the Deeper Dating Podcast to learn how to use your core gifts to bring deeper intimacy to your relationship.
If you've ever been disillusioned, disappointed, or discouraged in your search for love, and you know there has to be a better way to find the healthy, soul-filling love you've always longed for, then you've discovered the podcast for you. I know, as Ken's work personally has led me to find the love of my life. So here's your host of Deeper Dating, Ken Page.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Deeper Dating Podcast. I'm Ken Page. I'm a psychotherapist. I'm the author of the best-selling book, Deeper Dating, and your host on this podcast. And today, I'm really excited about talking about using your core gifts and the skills that you've learned in this work once you find a new healthy relationship, because then there's an entire new world of issues that come up and an entirely new set of possibilities. So before we jump in, I just want to say that in this episode and every episode, I'm going to share with you the greatest tools and skills and insights that I know to help you find beautiful, healthy love and keep it flourishing and heal your life in the process, because the skills of dating are the skills of intimacy, which are the greatest skills of all for a wonderful life. And if you want to learn more about the Deeper Dating path to intimacy, just go to deeperdatingpodcast.com. You can sign up for my mailing list, get tons of information about free resources, learn about the courses that I offer, and also get transcripts of every single episode. And I think I'm up to like 190 or something like that now. So thank you so much for listening, and let's jump in. So in teaching what I teach and in leading my intensives and all the work that I do, I get lots of questions and lots of reflections about that journey to find a good relationship. And beautifully, I hear again and again from people who say, I have done this work of honoring my soul, my heart, my authentic self, leading with that part of me. And then noticing, trusting my nervous system to notice with whom does my heart feel safe and seen with. I've done that work and I'm in a relationship and it's different than other relationships that I've been in. But I kind of don't know how to manage it because there are certain issues that come up that are new and different than when I was in relationships with people who weren't really available or weren't really good for me or weren't really able to commit. So what do I do now? And I want to share just some of the insights that I have found in my own life and my own relationship, having been on a very, very similar journey, you know, what I called chronically single for decades, now in a wonderful 15-year relationship. But boy, did I have a lot to learn. So I just want to share, and this is something I'm going to be talking about, I think, a good deal more. And many people have said, can you please write a book on using the power of your authenticity and your core gifts when you're in a relationship? So got lots to say about that, but I'm just going to focus on maybe two or three key points in this episode that I think are so important. I'll be right back after this. If you're interested in accelerating and deepening your search for love, I want to invite you to a very special project, the Deeper Dating Intensive. I only offer it twice a year, and it's a six-month journey working closely with me and an amazing community to transform each member's search for love. And you can learn more at deeperdatingintensive.com. And if it feels like a match, on that page you can set up a free one-on-one session with me to explore possibilities. I look forward to connecting if this speaks to you. Welcome back. So the first thing that I want to say, so in doing this work, in my intensives particularly, and in my one-on-one work, which I used to do, people find themselves in a good and new relationship, and they have particular struggles that they experience. This is something I've talked about a bunch before, but I think one of the biggest stuck places that people experience is, okay, so I've learned to honor my core gifts, the most authentic, tender, passionate parts of me. I've learned to honor those in my dating life. So I say no a lot more and a lot quicker. And when there's a yes, that yes resonates in me because this is what I'm looking for. So now I'm in a relationship with someone like that. And some of the biggest issues that come up for people are radical authenticity. How do you go to that next level of truly sharing who you are? Because if you don't, the relationship starts to freeze. It starts to jam. We start to freeze. We start to jam. We get stuck. We get shy. We start looking at our phones more in conversation. We miss bids from our partner. We begin to shut them off more and more. Sex begins to become maybe more flat, more stilted, less passionate. And this happens easily over time. And in fact, the arc of relationships, based on research, shows that the quality of communication and connectedness kind of across the board declines year after year. It's almost a universal phenomenon. So the question becomes, what can we do to correct this? And a brilliant theorist, Eli Finkel, and researcher, did a spectacular TED Talk called The Marriage Hack, where he teaches a technique, which I won't go into at this point, but I will link to it, which involves picturing a wise outside person who gives you advice around your most stuck points, and both couples do it. I think you do it like once a year, takes like 20 minutes, and it's been clinically proven to flatten that line of decline. It doesn't raise it, but it stops it from happening. So The Marriage Hack by Eli Finkel, fabulous, fabulous piece. But we are going to talk about having it not decline and bringing it back up through the very same tools that led you to healthy love, which are the tools of treasuring, sharing, and expressing who you are. So the first piece that feels like a struggle for people is sharing your asks and sharing your deepest asks. So what does that mean? Like, I'll give you an example. An example might be, you have a need for space and you feel ashamed. You feel bad about this need for space because you feel like your partner might be hurt. They might be upset. You need time alone. You need to go for a walk. You don't want to touch at a certain point that maybe they want to touch. You don't want to have sex at a time that maybe they want to have sex. You need privacy. You want to be with your friends and not with them. There's a lot of shame around the need for space. And, you know, these are these dual giant shame points, the need for space and the need for deeper connectedness. And I'm going to talk about both of those, but I'm going to talk about space first. There's such a taboo around our need for space. And I know for me, being someone who is kind of not always and not perfectly, God knows, but highly compassionate and highly empathic, highly sensitive, I have walked around in my life with a sense that my radical need for space means that I don't know how to love. And then everything gets jammed up when I am ashamed of my need for space. I might be communicating with someone and I'm not feeling that connected. And instead of saying, oh, why am I not feeling connected? I'm not feeling connected because I said something a few minutes ago and it was not picked up on. So I'm beginning to shut down. I'm not feeling connected because something was triggered in me that I need some alone time with. I'm not feeling connected because I need to go back into myself for a moment to find who I am and where I am at this moment. You know, when I was doing one-on-one therapy and in my coaching work, I stop a lot and I say, I just need a moment to think, and I close my eyes because I've slightly lost myself, or I sense there's something here, but I can't be in conversation to find it. I need to interiorize. I have like a deep, deep need to interiorize. In the past, I was more ashamed of that. In my early relationship with Greg, we would meet together and go on the train home, and he would want to chat, and I'd be gone. I'd be gone. I wouldn't be present. And so I would need, because of the work that I did, instead of just sinking into what's wrong with me, I'm ashamed, I would know enough to say, honey, I need to be quiet for a moment. Could we just hold hands? And then I would hold hands. My anxiety would diminish. I would slightly come back to myself. So this is just one small example of a shame that we have around our need for space. Something I've seen, this is kind of related to that. This is something that I have seen again and again in New York City, because the real estate market in New York City is really intense. So you get a couple that, for example, has been together for a year and they're in love and they know that they want to go to the next step. One of them has an apartment that is, let's say, rent stabilized. The other one's lease is coming up again, and the increase is going to be huge. And so it's just this time where they say, well, maybe we should live together. The person whose home the other person would be moving into probably thinks something like, well, I love this person. Maybe I wouldn't have chosen this right now. Like maybe in an ideal world, I wish their lease came up in another year, or maybe even another 6 months or 2 years. But like they need me and I love them and they love me and we have a planned future together. So, all right, let's do this. I've seen this again and again where this has actually led to the demise of a number of relationships. Because even though it makes intellectual sense, something inside the person whose apartment it is has just, they're just not ready yet. They're not quite ready. And it's just too hard to say because, of course, they should let this person in. And this is such a metaphor for our need for space. So they say yes, and then they don't know how to put words on all the different pieces. The person who moves in might feel like, oh, well, this isn't really mine. And yeah, I know I have half the drawer space. I know I have half the closet space, but I have never liked the color of the walls. The art that is up, it's just, it's okay, but it's not me. And I have my own art that I want to put up. But I feel funny doing that because this person has really decorated the space, example, et cetera, et cetera. And this is this like need for space of their own in both parties that they feel ashamed of saying. So that's like kind of the need for space. And I think so many of us don't normalize the ebb and flow of true intimacy, which is space connection, space connection, space connection, a gorgeous, gorgeous flow. Then that leads to the other big shame, which is the shame around need, the shame around dependence, the shame of wanting to be made a fuss over, wanting to be deeply, deeply heard, deeply, deeply seen, appreciated and treated as special. And we feel like, well, oh my God, like, what am I, a narcissist? I can't share those things. And so we suppress those things. And when we suppress those parts of ourselves, because these are the dual shames, the need for freedom, and the need for kind of radical freedom, freedom that maybe feels a little bit strange to us, like we don't know if we have the right. and the need for deep, deep bonding, which we also feel embarrassed about because we're taught again and again, I should be fine on my own. And also, there is like immaturity. These are core gift places for each of us, the deep longing for connectedness and the longing for freedom. So around our core gifts, it's essential that we begin by honoring and treasuring them. But it's also really important to note that our biggest immaturities swirl around those gifts. There's learning to be done. Just like with our children, we need to honor and treasure them, but there's work that needs to be done too to help them come into their own mastery and learn the skills that they need for life. So, need for freedom. That could also be a fleeing from intimacy. That could be an immaturity where you're not willing to do the harder work, where you're not willing to pick up the shovel with your partner and do the deeper digging together. So we need to ask ourselves, we need to start by honoring the need for freedom. But then we need to ask ourselves as well, is there a fleeing here? And then the next stage, the first stage is honoring. The next stage is reflecting inside ourselves. But honoring first, honoring first, honoring first. We'll never get there if we don't start by honoring that initial impulse, in this case for freedom. And then we reflect, are there ways that I might be pushing love away? How then could I have my freedom and still have intimacy? And that brings us to the third step that's hard as hell, which is the conversation, where you share these parts of yourself that you feel like are weird or strange. Like, why do I need that much space? Why do I feel funny about inviting you to live in my apartment when your lease is up and we love each other and we're planning a future together, but something inside me doesn't feel right? Oh, I'm going to give another example of this as well. This is something I've seen a lot. Okay, so people do online dating, for example, and they meet someone who lives 5 states away. So they really like each other. Something really special and wonderful is happening. And so they decide that they are going to set up their first date. So one of the parties is going to fly out to the other party and like really, 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 they're crazy about each other. So why not have the person who's flying out stay in the house with the person whose house it is? And they spend a weekend together. Sounds right, sounds smart. It almost always ends badly when people do that. Not always, but almost always, because there is this need for space that we don't know how to talk about. And the person whose home it is very possibly going to feel claustrophobic. The person whose home it isn't is going to be like standing on a wobbly ladder because it's not their home and it's not their place and they feel funny about it. So I always, just saying, I always advise in those cases, try to get a hotel room. I know it's more expensive. Get a hotel room and have dates together during that weekend. If by the end those intensify, fabulous. But don't start living together on your first date for a weekend. It makes sense up here. But there's some deep need for space that we as beings have that I think we don't know how to honor. Okay, so then the other one is the need for connection. And this is something that is in my doing my intensives, I find that this is a deep, deep shame place for people. You're in a relationship, and let's say you feel dissatisfied in certain ways because there's a bond, there's a connection, there's a love, but you want something deeper some of the time. You want to be held longer. You want to not jump to sex immediately. You want to have more foreplay. You want to talk about really vulnerable things more. You want to go into feelings more. You want to go deeper with all of those things. You want to feel cherished, maybe, and taken care of in a way that it feels embarrassing to ask for. Maybe you are also aching to do the same for your partner, you know, which is like that mutual treasuring, that like extra treasuring is kind of the seed of rich romance, but it's embarrassing and it's awkward. So we often don't want to ask for that extra depth. In my book, I talk about people who are together as a couple. And so they're in bed together. They had like a wonderful date. And the guy, it's not always the guy, but let's say in a heterosexual relationship, let's just say that the guy is like fiddling with the remote, setting up the movie. And the woman, this could be anything. It could be a queer relationship. It could be any relationship. In the book, I mentioned a straight guy and straight woman. But anyway, so then in this case, one of the people like wants to cuddle and the other is like fiddling with the remote, like looking for a movie, let's say. And the person who just wants to cuddle and be held and like put the remote down feels a little embarrassed, like, ooh, that's like needy. That's clingy. Then they have shame around that and they can't ask. So then a little bit of resentment builds and the connection is going to be a little bit stilted. Why? Because the same steps didn't happen. The person who's wanting more didn't ask themselves, how can I honor this part of me? How does it make sense? Well, it makes sense because one of my core gifts is I go for connection. It hurts me when connection isn't real and rich and deep. Like I feel it more than other people. And when it is, I feel a sense of joy. I feel a sense of connectedness. I feel right. Well, maybe we've got some shame around that. I know I have had tons of shame around that and still have, but I do tons more asking in my relationship because I've learned these lessons. But for you, this is what I'd like you to think about right now. What would be your radical next step in asking for more closeness the way you want it? What would be your radical next step in asking for a kind of space that your organism needs? Because for many of us, the intimacy process is a process of rocking back into space, and then rocking forward into connection, back into some space, reconnection with self, and then connection with the other person. But our culture doesn't teach us how allowed that is. So I think I'm going to continue with this in the next episode, but for now, I'm going to just leave it at these two pieces, which is being able to honor your need for space, put words on it. Think about how it connects to your core gifts, how it has validity, how you don't have to shame yourself for it. And also with your need for deeper closeness in whatever way that is. Your sense of what you need for closeness might be laughing together, and there's not enough of that. It might be taking walks together. It might be a certain way of being touched and seen. These connect to our core gifts, folks, and when we don't honor them, we shut down to closeness. So this radical process, which is one of the great joys of what we get to do in a relationship, of putting words on and honoring our need for space, our need for interiorization, our need for freedom, and our need for deeper closeness. First honoring, and then being able to just reflect on this, and then being able to speak about it. And here is just a little piece of magic. And the piece of magic is this. When we make our requests into demands, when they have a tinge of judgment to them, or when we don't fully occupy the arc of what we really want, things go sour. We need to swing out in terms of asking for what we want And we need to do it in a way, like the magic key is when you make it an ask, meaning that you recognize that it might be a stretch for your partner, that you trust them enough that you can do this ask, and you do a full-hearted ask with vulnerability, then they get to be generous. There's so much more of a chance, as opposed to feeling judged for their own, maybe opposite need for space or need for connection. So if you do it as an ask and you make space by really sharing your vulnerability, that's the magic. Is it easy to do? No, it's not, but it's precious. It is precious. And it's an act of love when you can do that and then your partner hears you. So I think we're going to stick with that for now. And I just invite you in your life to do gentler, kinder, more radical naming and asking of your needs for space, freedom, and also deeper, more personal intimacy. I'd also love to hear from you about your experiments. Gandhi's autobiography was called My Experiments with Truth. So I'd love to hear from you about your stories, about your experiments with truth. Thank you so much. And I look forward to connecting on the next episode of the Deeper Dating Podcast.
And that's it for today's episode of Deeper Dating. Be sure to go to deeperdatingpodcast.com as Ken has a few more gifts for you. Then join us on the next episode.